Okay.
Walker, Gordon, et cetera, and Schwartz. There is a sample system from Darren, the appellant, no refund, we have yet.
Is Mr. Esten here? All right, you may proceed.
Good morning, may it please the court. Aaron Campbell on behalf of the warden. Mr. Chief Justice, I would reserve time for rebuttal, but I do not need to in this case.
Yes, for the
sake
of those who may wonder, if you file your appellee's brief late, you give up your right to argue orally. So you want to reserve 2 minutes anyway?
Thank you. Your Honor, this is an appeal of an issue that comes up quite often in habeas corpus, and that is a claim that counsel is ineffective for failing to appeal an uncontested probation revocation. For years, this court has denied these claims on the grounds that there is no constitutional right to counsel at a revocation hearing.
But those denials, is it clear that those denials are addressing the Sixth Amendment issue or the due process issue under the federal constitution using Strickland, or are those denials specifically addressing the argument of a statutory right to counsel where state habeas law, not federal habeas law, but state habeas law is determinative?
It's not entirely clear on all of those. I would have to go back and look, but obviously I can't say that this court was just specifically addressing a Sixth Amendment or a due process.
But if we're citing Sixth Amendment cases and due process cases and federal con law cases, we're obviously not addressing state law.
Yes, I guess so, Your Honor. But I would say in this case, the petitioner's claim was that he was denied under the Sixth Amendment and the due process clause, not state law.
How do we address the reality that the trial court went ahead and addressed state law? It said you have a statutory right under state law, and I'm exercising the power of the state habeas law to issue the writ.
I would argue that is an incorrect way of evaluating a habeas corpus claim. I'm not sure I understand Your Honor's question as regard to
state. Let me back up. There's a federal habeas.
Yeah.
But if the federal government didn't exist, the Commonwealth of Virginia would exist, and we have our own laws, including our own habeas law, which existed before their habeas law existed. So the state court is obligated to interpret and apply the state habeas law. So now the question on the table is, Strickland aside, how do we interpret our state habeas law when there's a right asserted based upon a statutory argument to counsel? Do we use ineffective assistance? The answer is, at least in Dodson, yes. What standards do we use? Maybe by reference to Strickland et al., maybe not.
My argument is that we would argue it under the analysis of the Sixth Amendment and Due Process Clause. Now, if this court wants to adopt what this court did in Dobson, perhaps this court can do so.
Can I ask you just a basic question? Clearly, you have a statutory right to counsel at the revocation proceeding at trial. Is there statutory authority then to have counsel on appeal?
I don't think there is. 19.2-159 talks about getting appointed to counsel, and there is a line in there that talks about an indigent defendant is entitled to counsel, including any appeal. But I'm not sure that means that. I think that is for direct appeals, not revocation proceedings. I don't think there is a specific statute that deals with
direct. So if there's no statutory command, then we'd either need a federal constitutional command or a state constitutional command, or there's just no right.
Right. And I don't think there is the right. And I guess that would answer your question, at least in terms of the direct appeal context. I don't think there is a statutory right under Virginia law to counsel of a revocation proceeding.
And we're talking about pursuing an appeal, correct?
Pursuing an appeal of
and,
a revocation.
And Gagnon dealt with, at the revocation proceeding itself, and you do a fine-grained analysis based on the facts and circumstances, and then you get counsel at that trial proceeding.
Yes.
But has the U.S. Supreme Court spoken to, then, an appeal from that and what the right is under the Due Process Clause?
An appeal of a revocation proceeding, the U.S. Supreme Court
right.
has not addressed that. This court typically cites Wainwright v. Torna for that proposition. If there's no right to counsel at the proceeding itself, then consequently there's no right to counsel on the appeal. And this court typically cites the Wainwright v. Torna case, which is a discretionary appeal in the state.
But
court.
I mean, do they have to be linked? In other words, that the right to counsel on appeal inextricably follows from the right to counsel at the underlying trial?
No, I don't think they do have to be specifically linked. In fact, I argued that in my motion to reconsider that I don't think that there is a right to an appeal of a discretionary appeal such as this. Certainly, Gagnon never established it. Morrissey v. Brewer never established any such right.
But the bottom line is if he didn't have a constitutional right at this proceeding itself, then it certainly follows that there was no right to appeal.
Yes, Your Honor. And that is what we would ask the court to do if this court were to just analyze it under a constitutional issue, which, again, the petitioner, when he filed his petition, he said he was denied his constitutional rights under the Sixth Amendment and the Due Process Clause. We would ask that the court adopt the reasoning of the federal courts that have analyzed this issue, especially the federal courts that have looked at this court's
I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but did either of your motions to reconsider point out to the trial court that the trial court went beyond the pleadings, that actually this was a straight-up Sixth Amendment, pro se, habeas form, didn't mention anything about these extrapolations from 19.2, and you went further than that and addressed this under a completely different regimen of law, which is state habeas law?
Yes, what we argued in our motion to consider was that the court inappropriately applied statutory law as in did not analyze it correctly under constitutional law.
Okay, so you preserve the point you can't enter judgment based upon allegations that were not pled. Is that true? Let me back up.
I would say so. I mean,
a trial judge can't do that. A trial judge can't enter a judgment on a theory or a claim that was not pled. However, if someone doesn't object to it and someone doesn't preserve it below, it's waived.
Yeah, I don't think we would waive it because we, in our motion to reconsider, we said that this is the wrong reasoning court. Lower court. You applied statute. This is a claim of.
But it's the wrong reason because it wasn't pled. Was that clear to the trial court?
I would probably concede that. Not sure that those specifically not pled language. I don't think I use that in my motion to reconsider. Generally, the right to counsel or effective assistance of counsel is derived in a post-conviction proceeding from the Due Process Clause, not the Sixth Amendment. Under a strict Gagnon analysis, due process is only required whenever the revocation is either contested or there are substantial reasons for mitigation. Neither of those scenarios apply in this case because this violation was uncontested and there were no substantial reasons that made the revocation inappropriate. I would ask that the court reverse. I don't think it would be appropriate to say that this is a new habeas right, as this court has never created a new habeas right based on the statutory appointment of counsel. The federal courts have a very similar appointment of counsel for their revocation proceedings, and they have analyzed it under the Gagnon principles, and they have found that that does not create a right to counsel nor a right to counsel on appeal. And there is no statute, obviously, in this Commonwealth that gives a probationer a right to counsel on appeal. And for that reason alone, we would ask that the court reverse the court below.
The court will be in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.